Welcome back to the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Angela Decker. We have a new podcast today highlighting writers, readers, and publishers in the listening region. Local writer and Jefferson Journal poetry editor Amy Miller hosts the segment. Today she speaks with Dan Kaufman, who organizes a monthly open mic poetry event in Talent, Oregon.
Hello, and welcome to The Writer's Dish on Jefferson Public Radio, where we explore the world of writing and publishing. I'm your host, Amy Miller. If you're a writer, and especially if you're a poet, you probably know about open mics, those gatherings in a coffee house or a bar where anyone can sign up and read a little bit of their writing to an audience. But what's it like to run an open mic, and are they actually helpful to writers? My guest today is Dan Kaufman, the longtime organizer of the Poetry Open Mic Without a Mic, which meets once a month in Talent, Oregon. Dan has been an active in the Rogue Valley poetry community for several years and has had his own poetry published in many literary journals. Thanks for being on the show today, Dan. So could you tell us a little bit about the Poetry Open Mic Without a Mic? We'd like to know where it is, when it takes place, and roughly, like, how many people do you get per session?
Well, the open mic takes place at the Talent Library in the community room. We actually refer to it as OMWAM, Open Mic Without a Mic.
Aww.
I've been the facilitator for about 2 years now. And we meet the second Thursday of each month from 7 to 9 p.m. approximately. We generally get between 20 and 25 people. So we've had a good, consistent turnout. Some of the people have been coming for many years. But we have a mix of new and experienced poets.
Great. That's a pretty good turnout for an open mic, actually.
Especially in the wintertime when it gets dark early, as we meet from 7 to 9, people are driving sometimes there, and of course, driving home in the dark. So we're pleased to get that kind of a turnout once a month.
So tell me, you probably couldn't have met during the pandemic, I'm assuming. Did you have to shut down for quite a long time?
That's an interesting question. We actually transitioned to Zoom during the pandemic, thanks to one of our members, Jack Siebold. He set that up for us. And then during the summers, during the warmer times, we met at Holmes Park in Medford outside.
Great. Uh-huh. Okay. So you really kept it going pretty much the whole time then, it sounds like.
We tried to. The other interesting change was we used to meet at the downtown coffee house in Talent.
I remember.
And that changed hands and became Gather, and they stayed open for dinner, so our Thursday night slot was not available. So in 2022, we switched over to the Talent Library.
Okay. Is there a time limit to how long people can read at the open mic?
Since we do get between 20 and 25 people regularly, we try to limit each reading to 5 minutes or less.
Okay.
We don't keep a clock on it, but we remind people at the beginning of the meeting. And most of the poets are very faithful to that.
Great. I know, so you are both the MC and the organizer of this open mic. And having run a few open mics myself and been to a lot of them, I know that part of the job of the MC is to time people and to kindly tell them when their time is up and that kind of thing. Can you talk a little bit about the responsibilities of doing both of those jobs, both running it as, you know, as it's happening and organizing it in advance? So you must have to do all of the publicity and keep a mailing list and all of that?
We don't do any publicity. It's pretty much been word of mouth because this open mic has actually been operating since 2006, long before I was involved in it. Dave Harvey ran it for about 12 years at the downtown coffee house. So many of the people that come regularly have been there for a long time. We do get new people from time to time, and we welcome new people, both as poets and listeners. Mm-hmm. I reserve the room at the library every month. I get there at 6:30 and unlock the doors, set up the chairs and the podium.
Oh, all by yourself?
All by myself.
Okay. Somebody help Dan.
Well, people are real helpful in terms of putting the chairs away at the end of the evening, so that's great. We begin at 7 with some relevant poetry announcements, and then we sit in a circle, and we kind of go clockwise. People can either remain seated, they can stand, or come to the podium, whatever they're comfortable doing.
Okay, so it sounds like you don't actually have a sign-up sheet. Do you just go by kind of who's there?
Correct. When we were at the downtown coffee house, we did have a sign-up sheet. Now, just about everybody that comes reads.
Wow.
But we're, as I say, we welcome people that just want to listen to.
Sure, sure. Can you talk about, like, if somebody is a first-timer coming in and just wants to listen, do you have some pointers to some new people in terms of, you know, overcoming their self-consciousness about reading? I mean, speaking in public is supposedly the number one fear in humans, I think, worldwide. Talk a little bit about, you know, like, what to expect if they've never been to one of these before.
I think there's a couple things that make it easy for first-timers, beginning with the fact that we read for 5 minutes or less. It's not a prolonged open mic experience.
Right.
The atmosphere and the vibe is very supportive. There's no critiquing, but we applaud after each person reads. Very supportive. Some people do give feedback at the end of the open mic or through follow-up email, but for the most part, we're just an appreciative audience. And since there is no microphone, it's kind of like having a conversation with a group of people.
Right.
So it's pretty low-key in that respect.
And kind of intimate, actually.
It is, very intimate.
Right, right. People talking to people kind of thing.
Yeah. And one of the things that's been heartening as a facilitator is we've created a space where people do feel comfortable expressing personal experiences in their poetry.
Okay. And that can be quite a factor in terms of presenting your personal experiences and your sometimes some even traumatic experiences in poetry in front of strangers.
Yes.
Yeah, that's one of the tricks of an open mic. Well, this is The Writer's Dish on Jefferson Public Radio. I'm your host, Amy Miller, and we're speaking with poet and local writer Dan Kaufman. We're talking about open mics, talking about the idea of giving people feedback on their writing after you've seen them read at an open mic. So if that's part of the process, you know, I wanted to talk a little bit about managing expectations in terms of particularly somebody who hasn't done very many open mics. I can tell you that as a young writer, the first time that I did one, I kind of thought maybe there would be a talent scout or something out in the audience. And, you know, this might be my big break. Somebody would love what I read and they would, you know, want to give me a book deal or some. I get something out of it. And I remember the first many, many times that I went to open mics, I got nothing out of it, like no feedback. I'm shy. I had a hard time meeting people. Can you talk about that a little bit? I mean, it sounds like you have a regular group. So maybe, you know, everybody's kind of they're getting something else out of this open mic, I think, is where I'm going with that.
I think that's very true. For a lot of us, it's a social experience as well as a poetry experience. We form friendships through this group. Some of the people in the group have actually formed critique groups out of their experience there. And we get to know, because we do this once a month, we get to know the people that come regularly. We get to know a little bit about their personal situations, what kinds of issues they're struggling with, their sense of humor, which is a big part of the open mic experience for this group. We do a lot of laughing.
Nice. It's interesting that every open mic group has its own personality. It's like an Al-Anon group or just about any group of people, I suppose, but if they get to know each other after a while. So I've been to some open mics where it was intense. Like it was deadly serious, and it always was every time that I went. But that depends on the people who were there and the relationships that they form, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So where can people find out more about it? Is there any place where there's, is there information at the library that people can find, or is there someplace where they would sign up? Do you have like an email mailing list or anything like that?
We do. Each month I send out a reminder email. We have about 50 people on the email list.
Oh, wow.
Not everyone attends each session, but if people are interested, would like to find out more information, they can email me at dankaufman@charter.net.
Okay.
And I'll be happy to give them all the information.
Okay. So that's Dan Kaufman, and that's K-A-U-F-M-A-N, one N.
Correct.
At charter.net.
Right.
Okay, great. I bet you'll get a few takers for that. So, you know, talking about, you segued very nicely there about how some people do use open mics as a way to get involved with the community, meet other poets, and to form small workshop groups on their own. Could we talk about workshop groups for a few minutes? So workshop groups, just for a quick definition, if somebody hasn't been in one, they're also called critique groups. So this is a group of people, usually a fairly small one, where you sit around and usually each person presents one piece of writing, a poem or maybe a short story or something during the session. And then the other people give some feedback on it. They talk about what's working and what's not working. There are many varieties of these workshop groups. I know that you're in a couple of local workshop groups, and I also am. And full disclaimer, we are in the same one in one case. So what advice would you give to writers who would like to find a workshop group? Like, where can they find like-minded people other than open mics? And what do you think is kind of the ideal number of people? You know, where do you meet? Do you have food? Do you not have food? I mean, what would you tell somebody who said, how do I do that?
Well, I was very lucky when I came to the Valley 10 years ago to meet you.
Because that's right.
Not only did you introduce me to the open mic when it was still at the Downtowners, but you were also instrumental in hooking me up with other local poets. I'm in two groups, as you say. One of them has six members, our group, and then the other group that I'm in has eight members.
Oh, wow. Uh-huh.
But again, not all of them attend each session.
Yeah.
I find it really helpful to be in two groups with different poets because I like to workshop poems, and I like to revise, and I get wonderful feedback from the people in my group. I don't always act on the suggestions, but it really helps me understand what's working in the poem and what issues I need to spend some more time with.
Yeah, yeah. That's interesting. I know that when you and I met, we met because a friend of mine knew you from where you were living before.
That's right.
So we had a long distance connection from somebody. And I think I had that connection when I moved to Southern Oregon 20 years ago. I actually met long story. She hooked me up with somebody here in town who was still a close friend of mine all these years later. So it just takes one person really to sort of get you connected into a local.
That's true. Group. And I found when I moved here that the poetry community was very welcoming. It was very easy for me to plug in. And one of the reasons that I enjoy facilitating the open mic is I like to try to provide that welcoming energy to others.
That's great. And that will keep an open mic going. I think that's vitally important, keeping it inviting. It's a little bit threatening to be out there sometimes, even if you've been at it for a long time. It's very important to have a very welcoming host who's warm to you and that it feels like, you know, we talk about safe spaces in many parts of life these days. And that's really important with when you're revealing, like I said, these very personal poems and a lot about your life often.
You're right. And if with the new poets that show up, I make a point to email them the next day.
Wow.
To reinforce the fact that we enjoyed having them and to welcome them to come back.
That's fantastic. I think that's a great thing for people to keep in mind if they ever want to open an open mic of their own. That's very unusual, very, very hands-on and very kind. So you mentioned that you are in two different critique groups. I am wondering, like, do you ever workshop the same poem in both groups?
I don't.
Oh, okay.
As I said, I like to workshop as many poems as possible, uh-huh. So I do bring a new poem to each group.
Wow, that's okay. So are you generating poetry in mind, thinking, oh, I've got a group coming up in a week or something, I need to get something done?
Sometimes I do. My writing schedule is pretty regular. I don't write something new every day. A lot of times my writing will be revising, but I try to come up with new material ahead of each critique group.
Okay, interesting. So I'm also in two groups, and I'll just say for the counterpoint to that, I often workshop the same poem in two workshops, maybe even a week apart, because I get vastly different reads from the two different groups, and it's really interesting.
I can understand that.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah. And then you've got, 14 different opinions or whatever. That's a lot to sift through sometimes.
Right.
And it's not like, oh, I didn't get the opinion I wanted from that group, so I'm going to go to this one. It's more like, one might have more men in it, one might have different experiences or whatever. And sometimes there's a little bit of a herd effect where it's like, oh, everybody liked it in this group, but, this group was a little lukewarm about it. And it's like, it was okay with them to be not a fan of your poem or whatever.
That's interesting because I've also had that experience with the open mic where I've taken a poem that has been workshopped to the open mic and gotten a vastly different reaction.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And you'll be in a much bigger crowd then.
Right.
Right. That's an interesting, it is kind of like another workshop group almost, being in an open mic, if you know the people.
Well, and one of the other differences is in the workshop, we have the poem in front of us to read while the poet is reading it.
Right.
At the open mic, we don't. So I've found that because of that, the poems that are accessible tend to get a better reception.
Oh, okay. That's a whole subject in itself, isn't it?
It is.
The accessible versus less accessible poem. Okay. Dan, thanks so much for being with us today.
It's been a pleasure, Amy.
You've been listening to The Writer's Dish, JPR's regional writing and publishing podcast. You can find this program and more on our website at jeffexchange.org. Or subscribe on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get podcasts. Thank you.